grateful for what's understood and all that is forgiven. We try so hard to be good, to lead a life worth living. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend, and friends, all together, everyone, let grateful days be endless. Grateful for each hand we hold, gathered round this day.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another True Stories of Tinseltown. And today, I'm doing the Thanksgiving show. Yes, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. Ha ha. But because there are really no movies, you know, real Thanksgiving movies, there's like, I think, I don't know what it's called, Plymouth Rock or The Mayflower with Spencer Tracy. That's like the only one, or Miracle on 34th Street, which is really a Christmas film but starts with Thanksgiving. I thought I would ask some of my pals and people who've been on the show a movie they're thankful for, and there can be a tie. So my first guest to talk about this is, of course, my pal and classic blonde expert, and she knows pretty much everything about the films. And welcome, April. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Grace. I am always happy to get to speak to you. It's the highlight of my year that we got to do our series, and now you've
How
asked me
How wonderful
back.
Is it? Well, we're going to do another one. I really enjoyed it, and I think people liked it, too. It was so much fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's always great talking to you, and thank you for asking me to come on this.
Yes, so happy Thanksgiving, and did you, what is a film that you're thankful for? It doesn't have to be your favorite film. It could be something that meant something to you or changed you or whatever. But I know you have the film in mind because you're not going to go, I'm thinking about it now. What was it and why?
I'm sure it's not going to be shocking to anybody, but I'm genuinely thankful for The Girl Can't Help It with Jane from 1956. And there's a Thanksgiving scene, so we can tie it in.
Wowee. So that I am. I'm surprised. I didn't know if it would be Jane or if it would be Marilyn.
I really love Marilyn, but I love Jane. And the reason I love that film so much is because it pretty effortlessly blends like sex and comedy together, which is extremely common now, but at the time, you know, it has a lot of visual gags, like, you know, I'm sure most people have seen where Jane's, you know, walking and the milkman's milk bottles explode.
That's hysterical.
I've seen that described as ejaculatory gusto, and I mean, it's
I bet
true.
That's real. Yes, it's a really risque, but really, when you think about it, what year was that film made?
1956. Jane filmed it in like 6 weeks.
You know what's funny about it, though? Not everybody would get that. You know what I mean? Most people have like, you know, oh, look, haha. It exploded, but other people do get it. And I think that's a riot.
Yeah, no. And it's just, you know, Little Richard's in the film. Eddie Cochran's in the film. My son loves the film, which is one of the reasons I am thankful for it, because I can get him to watch it.
Yay.
You know, and it's just, it's one of those movies that if I'm having a really bad day, I can just turn to it, you know, and that to me really says, you know, oh, this is a great movie. I'm not going to say it's my favorite movie. I really love the movie, obviously, but Gone with the Wind is actually my favorite movie, but Girl Can't Help It is the second one up there, but they're very close. And, you know, it's such a happy movie. And especially with right now, I need happy.
Right. I know. Mommy has a sick kid on her hand and here's the holidays. Oh, yay. But, you're thankful for your son. And
That's I am, and I'm thankful for you. I don't know what I would do without you, Grace. I'm always thankful for you.
Well, I'm thankful for you, April. Seriously, we're not being like mushy, ushy, gushy. I am. I love April, and I'm very glad that we became friends. So I'm very thankful for April.
Oh, thanks, Grace. No, me too. Yeah. Most people who know me know I don't compliment at all. So I'm very sincere with what I say on that. So, you know, and I'm thankful, obviously, for my family and my friends and everything like that. But movie-wise, which I think that's a great question, by the way. I can't wait to listen to this episode and see what everyone else says. Movie-wise, yeah, I'm really thankful for The Girl Can't Help It. Always pulls me out of the funk if I'm having one.
That's a great, great movie. I mean, let's face it, Gone with the Wind is a wonderful film, but it's not exactly, you know, going to make you happy. It's not exactly going to go, yahoo, hee, hee, hee. I don't know that David would like it, perhaps, but you never know.
You know, he'd probably like the dresses and the hair. I can't really sit myself down for 4 hours, you know, every night to watch it. But The Girl Can't Help It. It's, you know, like in 80 something minutes. And it's like, I can watch that, you know, and it really helps introduce rock and roll to a more mainstream audience as well. Interestingly, that movie actually brought the Beatles together. John Lennon and Paul McCartney were both fans of the film. And when, you know, Paul was trying out for, you know, John's band, he played a song from it and they bonded over their mutual love of The Girl Can't Help It.
And of course, as we talked about in the Jane podcast, they actually met her, and that was a long story and not a particularly great story, sad story kind of, but that's amazing. And they didn't get together prior to that. They kind of bonded over.
No. But Paul McCartney played a song from the film, and that was his audition. And John Lennon was like, oh, you know, I know that I shouldn't say they, because obviously John has passed away, but Paul talks about in one of the Beatles documentaries. And then when they, the first time The Girl Can't Help It played on British television, the Beatles were recording an album and they put their recording on pause to run to a television together and watch The Girl Can't Help It.
So they were thankful for that movie too, I would have to say.
So, I mean, it's influential. We have the Beatles out of it, you know.
Yeah, and I, you know, really good choice because, and you also wrote the book about Jane, Publicity, which is fabulous. It's a picture book and also tells a lot about Jane's life. Can people still get that, April?
They can still get that. You can't get the Marilyn one anymore, but you can get the Jane one.
Can they get that on Amazon or?
You can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, there's some bootleg copies on eBay, so I don't recommend going on eBay. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble both have it. And the one through Barnes & Noble is actually a hardcover edition.
Ooh la la. I loved it. It's a riot. It's all in pink because Jane was all about pink. But what a great choice. And thank you so much, April. I loved your choice, and I get it, and it's so good. And thank you so much for doing our Turkey Day show. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Thank you. And like I said, I'm grateful for you, and I'm, you know, people love you too on the show. So it's nice. And yeah, I can't wait to hear. I don't know anyone else's choices. I said, don't tell me. So it'll be a surprise to me too when I'm listening. Good choice. I'm surprised, but good choice.
Oh, thanks, Grace. Yes. And I can definitely vouch that you did not ask for my choice before coming on.
I said, don't tell. Don't tell me, because people like to tell. You know what I mean? I want to know what's my secret. Anyway, thanks so much, April. I hope you have the most wonderful Thanksgiving and David gets better, your son gets better, and everything is A-okay. I love you. Happy Thanksgiving. And give David a long, far away kiss. I don't want even long distance cooties. So thanks so much, April, your doll, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Grace. I absolutely love you as well. And happy Thanksgiving to all of your listeners. And yeah, hopefully David doesn't give me something. That's my main concern
right
now.
It's Cootieville. Okay. Thanks, April. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Grace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. We now have one of my favorite guests. He's been on a few times, and he's going to be on again. If only we can get the connection there, huh, Mr. Canada?
That's correct.
Which kind of stinks, but it's Thanksgiving, you know, for us. But when was your Thanksgiving?
Ours was in October, actually, right before Halloween. October 12th or something like that. But I know it's a good month before yours, yeah.
Yeah, so ours is our big old turkey day on Thursday. And I knew Stone would have a movie that he was thankful for. And like everyone does, I'm sure. I don't think he's the only person in the world. So, Mr. Stone, Stony Curtis, as I call him, I would like to know, what movie are you thankful for and why?
I will tell you, and it might seem like an odd choice, but it did have a very personal connection with me, and that's the 1939 Warner Brothers gangster slash prison picture, Each Dawn I Die.
That's a wonderful film. Love that.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie, but it also has a personal connection to me because I first saw that movie back in 1972 when I was spending the summer in Chicago with my uncle and aunt and my cousins. Earlier that year, my dad passed away at 52.
Oh, that's
and
awful.
It was tough. I was 14 years old at that age when you really need a father around.
Yes,
and I was very close to my dad. Yeah, I was very close to my dad. And he passed away quite suddenly, actually. And my uncle, my dad's brother, invited me to come to spend the summer in Chicago, and you know, which was a good thing. And they had a lot of old movies playing on the Chicago stations that we didn't really get up here in Winnipeg. And we did at the time, didn't show have a lot of classic films once in a while, but not like they had in the States. So I really got myself familiarized with a lot of great classic films like Stagecoach and pictures of that type. And then one night they had a movie on called Each Dawn I Die. Now, I'd always known about James Cagney, of course, but I was only very vaguely familiar with George Raft, his co-star in that picture. And something really hit a chord with me when I watched that film. I just saw these two guys, these two screen Ruffy McTuffies, and I just automatically said, my God, these guys are really something. I mean, like I say, I knew about Cagney prior, but Raft was a new experience, and he was so great in that film.
He had such strength.
Mm. Yeah, he's a strong character. People always said he was never a great actor, but he had a personality and a presence you could not deny.
No, you couldn't.
And
they had a great chemistry together as well, Cagney and
well, that's the other thing. Yeah. They played so well together. You know, usually when Jimmy played with the other tough guys like Bogart and that, they were at each other's throats trying to kill each other. Mm-hmm. But with Raft, they were good friends in the picture, as they were in real life. Anyway, that film, I mean, it made such an impression on me. And when I came back from Chicago towards the end of that summer, I instantly was searching out everything I could find on Cagney and Raft because I thought, you know what, with my dad not being around anymore and being such a strong influence on me, these guys to me reminded me of my dad. I thought they were tough. They were tender. They just had qualities that I thought I wanted to aspire to as a young man. And I thought to myself, I want to be like these guys. I mean, I didn't want to be a gangster necessarily, you know, but I wanted to have those tough qualities to me, you know, but still be a decent kind of a human being, which I believe they were.
They were.
So they were, you know. I mean, you know, there was always a talk about George Raft's connections to the underworld and that. But then again, when you look at his background, growing up in Hell's Kitchen and playing the nightclubs as a dancer back in the Roaring Twenties, like he says, you couldn't help but to be associated with gangsters. And maybe some of his friendships were a bit questionable, but he was a decent man and a good man. And everybody I interviewed when I wrote my book on Raft, everybody without question just said what a wonderful man he was, a good actor and a nice guy and a generous friend.
Way generous. So were, yeah.
Very, I want to mention, maybe too generous.
I think way too, like $1 million to one of the gangsters or 100,000, right? But I just want to give you the name of Stone's book. It is fabulous. It is George Raft, The Man Who Would Be Bogart. And this is by Stone Wallace. And Stone, you wrote such a great book. And you can tell that
you
liked him when you were writing this book. Because, like, I knew who George Raft was, but when I read it, fab. I really liked him. And I saw him as a good person and incredibly generous. And
very
I love
much.
His acting. I really do.
Well, he's a good actor. I mean, when he was working in films with strong co-stars like Cagney, Robinson, Bogart, Muni, Tracy, Robert Taylor, you know, he gave terrific performances in good films. But unfortunately, when his career started to decline, he began doing lesser grade pictures and didn't have the same strong co-stars. And the directors weren't quite as great as Raoul Walsh or Howard Hawks or Lloyd Bacon. So, you know, his performances, I think, suffered to a point. But when he was at his best, he was great. I mean, like I say, not a great actor necessarily in the sense like Tracy was, but he had a strong presence. And when you saw him on screen, the old saying goes, like, he commanded the moment. And, you know, he did. James Cagney, even Cagney said when he did East When I Die, he says, "I don't mind a bit that George Raft stole the picture from me." Well, I don't know if necessarily true. I think they played on equal
I
equal
do too.
Par in that
I think
movie,
they were both great together. I think it was.
Absolutely.
They were
absolutely
equally mesmerizing and good, and
yeah,
I love that movie. Even though it's a dark film, it's a good film.
It's a tough picture, but it's you can see the actual affection that George and Jimmy had for each other in real life too. It really plays. That's I think another reason why that film is so effective is because you could see they in real life they liked each other and they were good friends. And that was the other thing I want to mention as well, if I may, about Cagney is having such a strong influence on me, too. I mean, interestingly, after I came back from Chicago and, Christmas season was approaching and one of our local TV stations began playing a series of late movies called Vintage Cagney. So I really got to get to know Jimmy better, too, but they were playing all his, you know, a lot of his old Warner Brothers films. So, again, that strengthened my love for Jimmy as much as with George. And, some years later, as you know, I had the great pleasure to work on the book that was put together, Conversations with Cagney. So it was real nice to be able to, you know, two guys who meant so much to me and still do, to have, you know, worked on projects, you know, with dealing with them.
And it's so funny because those were the guys you saw that summer. You wrote this wonderful book on George. So that totally affected your life. All the way through to today. I mean,
right through today, from 14 to now, and all those years in between. I mean, it's never wavered, you know, and it never will. I mean, those guys, they meant a lot to me growing up, and you know, I guess you'd call them formative figures, and you don't lose that. You don't lose that, you know.
No.
Even as you get older.
Well, some people do, I think, but if you love film so much, or you know, you're a true film lover and classic film lover, you don't lose it. But you know. You really connected, and you needed them that summer. You needed to see that kind of thing
that
summer.
It made such a difference in my life. Like I say, when I came back and began watching the Cagney films on CBC, and they didn't have a lot of George Raft pictures on TV, but I began really researching him, you know, and that was the start of it. I began trying to find out all the information I could about him through books and whatever information was available at that time. And through the years, it all kind of came together until, like you say, I put together my biography on him. And, it was just the culmination of a lot of years of interest and affection, too.
Yeah, so it was work, but it was also, because I know putting a book together is no piece of cake. But you enjoyed it as much as you were working on it, too.
Well, the best way I can put it, Grace, is to say I would have written that book for nothing. I mean, I had to do it. It was something that I felt I had to do because I wanted. I mean, I would have done a book on Cagney, too, at the time, but so many books had been written, including his autobiography. I thought, well, there was one book on Raft he was actually the co-author of. But this was some years later after Raft had passed away, and I thought, well, let's do a book that kind of goes into after that book was published, what happened to Raft's life following that. And, it was something I just felt I had to do, and it was, like I say, my tribute to him.
And it's a great tribute to him because.
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, I really did like it because I'm like gangster schmangsters. Although I do like I do like gangster movies, but you know, to read a biography of one, yeah, and it was compelling. And I want to, and like I said, a lot of times I just skip over the childhoods, just briefly get to the gist of the childhood. But I read every page on your book.
Wow.
So he had an interesting life. And it's so good that you chose. I knew you were going to choose George, but you got a double whammy in that. But you got a double whammy because you chose Jimmy, too.
Well, Jimmy meant just as much to me, too, don't forget, because coming back again from Chicago and all of a sudden they're playing all those old Warner Brothers films on late night TV, it was to me like, wow, I'm really getting to know Jimmy even better than I did before. And these guys just, I'm telling you, I mean, it's just, they're my idols. And, you know, here I am at my age now and I can still see these guys are my idols. I love them, you know. And that's why I say that was such a movie that opened a lot in me.
Today. And I find that really wonderful and a great choice. And I can see exactly why you would pick that film. And is that film your favorite or just one that really opened a lot of doors for you? Because isn't it hard to say a favorite?
Actually, my favorite film. No, it's not. It's definitely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick my all time favorite movie, mm-hmm. it would be the Godfather trilogy. Godfather 1, 2, and 3. I love those movies with a passion.
I have never seen 1, 2, or 3.
No kidding.
Right?
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Never seen it. I have to take time out and watch the three of them.
And, you know, I'll tell you something else. We talk about that. And my dad passed away in 72 in March. And The Godfather came out in 72. And my mom's brother-in-law had come into the city. And I was underage. I was only 14, so I couldn't go to see The Godfather. Although, you know, I wanted to. I'd been hearing all this stuff about the movie. And my uncle Stan took me to see The Godfather. So that movie also has a lot of meaning to me in that sense as well, because that was the first movie I saw after my dad died, one I wanted to see, and my uncle took me to go see it. So that movie had such an impact on me as well. And I love all three of them. Like a lot of people say Godfather 3, but you know what? To me, I when they say favorite movie, it's got to be the trilogy, because to me, it's a trilogy. It's the evolution of Michael Corleone, or de-evolution, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
You know, going from an idealist to a cold-blooded mafia don to a guy who, in the last chapter, is seeking redemption. He's old and sick and, mm-hmm. you know, wants to atone for his sins. I mean, what a great evolution of a character.
I've got to watch these. I mean, I can't believe I haven't watched them, to be honest with you.
I can't believe it either.
As a film lover, you know, and I do like gangster pictures. And look at you. You also... you write about real life gangsters, you know, about real gangsters
yes.
as well. So you
yes.
like
yes.
you write about TV movie gangsters yeah. and the real dudes. And your work, I'm very excited about your new horror novel coming out. That sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I'm just finishing that one up, actually. I'm working on the last chapter now and hoping to get myself an agent for this one because I've seen a big change in the publishing industry since I started off back in the 80s. And really, if you want to get the best distribution and for your book, you have to have an agent who can get you to the right publisher. You know, it's not like the old days. You could just send something over the transom and get a good deal. Now, you know, it's a much different business.
Yeah, so many people self-publish. So many people do so many things. And I think
yeah.
for publishers, they have to be sure to give it to you, they want to make, you know, some dough. So they have to really kind of...
And the business has changed too, don't forget, because now you've got ebooks, you've got audio books, you know, it's like some publishers are actually almost starting to move away from, you know, books you can hold in your hand anymore. They want to go into, you know, and I don't want to see the extinction of the real book happen.
Me either.
You know,
I love the real books. I do.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know...
It's hard.
I'm sorry. You know what I like? I just like for the Kindle is that you can hold so many books instead of like if you're going somewhere, you know, taking 10 hardcover books really is heavy.
That's true.
The good part about the Kindle. But I really actually I used to read 2 books a week when I was a kid. And I would just love the whole, you know, the whole experience
yeah.
of reading, holding the book, turning the page, doing these old-fashioned things that we used to do.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, I just love to turn pages of a book. I love holding a cover. It's just the whole tactile
yeah.
thing about having a book, you know, instead of looking at a computer screen and, you know, it's not the same, you know.
You can't even get a paper cut, man. I used to like it.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, geez. Anyway, Stone, I have to talk to you. I'm going to be talking to Lisa next. I'm talking
yes.
to her I have to give her a call. And I have to say, Dana guessed a total. She said, I know exactly what you're going to pick. I know what Stone's going to pick. I know exactly what he's going to pick. Guess what? You didn't pick it.
I didn't pick it.
No, A Man of a Thousand Faces, she thought you were going to pick.
Oh, that's another. Actually, that's interesting because that's actually the very first James Cagney movie I ever remember seeing. I was quite young then. I didn't know who the hell Cagney was, but that was the very first Cagney movie I ever remembered seeing.
And he wasn't really Cagney the gangsta. He was Lon Chaney Jr. He played Lon Chaney.
He played Lon Chaney, exactly. Yeah. And I probably watched that movie as a kid because I was so into horror movies. I knew who Lon Chaney was. So I'm sure I watched that movie more because of Lon Chaney than who Cagney was, you know. And now, of course, you watch and you say, wow, Cagney is cool. You know, I have the DVD of that movie. It's one I watch quite a bit. I love that movie, too, actually. I mean, you know, just those guys made movies like Cagney and Graft and Bogart and Robinson and Paul Muni and Garfield. I mean, I love these guys. I can watch their films ad nauseum.
I do too. I love those dudes. But, you know, the gangster genre isn't my favorite, but there are such classics that I just can't resist. And like
what's what is your favorite genre? I think I've ever asked you that.
My favorite genre would just be, you know, the drama or more so that.
Yeah.
But my least favorite, and people kind of give it to me, is musicals.
I know.
I can take them or leave them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I just love a real story. And I know people love musicals, and I have to say, you know, I love some of them, but, you know, it's something if I'm going to watch and I can only have one thing to watch, it's not going to be a musical.
I know, yeah.
Desert Island with me. Let's put it that way.
Well, I would make the exception for Yankee Doodle Dandy. I mean, because that's my favorite musical of all time. Of course, Cagney again is George Cohen.
I've never seen it all the way through. Can you believe
I don't know. It's a great story. Well, it's a true story, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, it's as true as Hollywood would make it.
Yes.
But it's just it's a good story. The music is great. Right. And to me, it's got all the elements.
I just see that whole dancing thing. It's just so adorable.
Oh, God, yeah, he just danced like he's such an eccentric dancer. That's another thing him and George have in common, of course. Both are great dancers, but they both were different stylists.
Yes.
You know, when you watch them dance.
George was more of a suave kind of dancer.
Oh, yeah.
He's very suave.
Oh, yeah. He would dance like almost with a snake-like rhythm.
Yes.
Where Jimmy would do that kind of snap-neat kind of dancing. So they were quite different, but they both were just like, I really enjoy watching both of them, you know, put the moves on when they're doing a musical or a dance number.
Yes, they can really rock it, those boys. Anyway, Stone, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Movies we are thankful for the Thanksgiving show. And you are, as usual, fabulous. And I'm telling you, the George Raft book, The Man Who Would Be Bogart by Stone Wallace, is fabulous. Also, you helped with a Cagney book.
Yes, I'm proud to do that too, very much so, yep.
And where can people look for you?
Oh, my website, www.stonewallace.net. And I'm still adding content, so it's not complete. But if anybody's interested in taking a look at the books that I've published or, you know, some information on the stuff that I've done, it's there. Plus, there's an article there I did an interview, actually, about George Raft. It's also on this site, one of many. I've done a ton of interviews about George Raft in print, on websites, on radio. Like, like I say, the passion's really grown into something, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's so funny, and you're thankful for it. And
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so thank you, Stone. We're going to get to our 50s gangsters. And, you know, I want to talk about the dames, because I believe that if you can just take, like, the malls from the 30s to the 50s dames, the dames were quite tough, much tougher, not just arm pieces. So we'll get into that when we talk about that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot we could talk about, from Mae Clark to Gloria Graham to Audrey Totter to Marie Windsor.
Yes.
So they're all there.
They're there. So we're going to do that. And I want to thank you, Stone. And you know what? I'm very thankful for you. I'm so glad
I'm thankful for you too, my friend.
I don't even know how we ended up meeting so that you come on the show, but I'm very glad that we
did.
Yeah.
And I'm very good question.
Very thankful. So thank you so much, and I really appreciate all you do.
Well, thank you, and you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You guys are lucky in the U.S. You get your 4 days. Up here, we just get a long weekend.
Yes.
I got to move to the States.
Yes. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Okay.
You betcha.
Take care, Stone. Thank you.
Okay. You take care, Grace. We'll talk to you.
Bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, we are here with another friend of mine from the show and from life. Her name is Lisa Sinita, and I love her. She comes on with Dana, and I love these two. And they're usually, oh my God, the last time we talked was hysterical. You guys were in a car and you were doing like a group call, like a, it was so weird. I couldn't hear you.
Now with all the noises in the back, right?
Yeah, it was a riot. And then Dana had, thank God it wasn't that cold, but she had to walk around outside.
I remember.
That was such a funny podcast. I loved it. And she and Dana did Conversations with Cagney the early years. So you guys put it together, and it the guy that got it was actually a manuscript, and the guy that got it was Bill Angelos, and you guys asked him if you could do something with this, and you did, and it's a wonderful book, great interviews, and also his wife Billy is there as well, and it's, you know, interesting. And I love Billy. She's just like a little pepper pot, as she is. Okay. So are you ready to tell us a movie you are thankful for?
A movie that I'm thankful for. Well, happy Thanksgiving anyway.
Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving.
To you and to everyone else. I have to say Yankee Doodle Dandy. I have to say a Cagney movie, even though it's I have so many favorites, but it's a movie that for the first time I saw it on a big screen at a film festival, a James Cagney film festival recently in New York City in his old neighborhood. And I had never seen it on the big screen, and it was fantastic. And
oh, really? This was the first time you saw it on the big screen?
On the big screen, yes. Never saw it on the big screen, just a DVD.
How cool.
It was amazing. And the audience participated, and they sang, and they clapped. And it just gives you a feeling of thankfulness because of the country we live in and what a great country it is. And it's Americana.
Totally. And he writes a whole thing for World War One.
It's World War One and then into World War Two.
Yeah.
And I think I gravitate towards those kind of that era, you know. I do. I like things about World War Two a lot.
Oh, you watch a lot of the movies around World War II?
I like that era. I like movies that were made in that era, yeah. And I love Hollywood's participation in that whole thing, too. I love to read about it. So but I think that's why I like that movie so much.
And you can watch it over and over, right?
You watch it over and over. It's a feel-good movie. It has everything.
I love his dance in that. It's just like he skips around like a little leprechaun or something. He's so cute.
It's a great performance. It's just, and it stands up, and the song stands up, and it's just a favorite. It's just, and it just makes you feel, wow, you know. It's just when you go by the Statue of Liberty, or when you think of patriotic things, you know, it just makes you feel great.
You know, and I have to watch this thing all the way through. I feel so bad that I think I've only seen, when do they usually play it? On the 4th of July?
Yeah, usually it's during that time, but you can relate to it with anything. It's just the songs are so great in it.
And Jimmy's so great.
And my favorite part. Yeah. My favorite actor, of course.
Of course. Your favorite. You guys have that wonderful group. And you have some great folks on it. And
We have a lot of people.
You do. I think that's wonderful. And
it's fantastic.
They're nice. You know, you
they
don't get
are.
You know, because I see some groups and there's like, you know, tiffs going on, you know,
no,
really like
we don't allow that.
Yeah. On my page I have such nice people come to my page and no bad stuff, no politics, no meanness,
no.
Just people
mm-mm.
who love classic
exactly.
Hollywood and their act and the actors and actresses of classic Hollywood. And I get such wonderful people on my page. So I'm thankful for them.
They're great. And the photos are great.
Oh, thank you.
I love the photos.
Yeah, I look.
I throw it to that on a daily basis.
Yeah, I look and look and I try. I'm like, okay, next. So but there is a real resource of photos we can get. Look at the pictures of James Cagney. My goodness, there are thousands and thousands of them.
It's endless.
We were talking, Dana and I were talking about him and when he went on the war thing, how Merle Oberon was trying to woo him and get him to be, and he had never cheated on Billy. He was tempted, but she, Dana said she was like relentless for a while.
Yeah, that's the way the story goes. She was, I think, just attracted to him.
Up for the challenge because she knew he doesn't cheat, perhaps?
Maybe. I mean, you know, we just like hearsay. I mean, it's
speculation, allegedly. Yes.
I mean, he was not that type of person.
You know what? I think you should do the second one because we've only gone about 5 minutes. Why don't you just do a quickie of the second film you were pondering? Because I think that's a wonderful film, and I think people really relate to that as well.
I do. And as corny as some people think it is, it's just something I can watch over and over again. It's A Wonderful Life.
And I'm with you.
I don't know what it is about it. I know it's just... You can just relate to the whole movie.
Yeah. I think this is one of Jimmy Stewart's best acting roles, definitely, to be honest.
Definitely. It's just the whole movie. It's just the way that you know, Frank Capra, you know?
Yes. And it was the first film he did when he started Liberty. That was his first film that he had produced on his own.
Yeah. It still stands up. It's shown every year. It's there's a reason for that. It's one of those things that you know, we'll stand the test of time.
And it does. And you see it and you still cry at the end and you still cry feel at the for end. George yeah. and you feel
But you're
for
happy.
Of
but you're
course,
happy.
You're happy. You
know? And it's true. It's what's important in life.
Yes. And I love those kind of movies because they always make me cry. But I love them because I think, you know, and I know people think it's corny, but it really, I don't think it is at all. I mean, it can be schmaltzy maybe to some, but.
It is funny, you know, you want to come away from a movie. I mean, there are tons of movies where, you know, you come away, they're terribly depressing.
Or scared or.
So scary. And, you know, I don't know, it's, you know, as I get older, I tend to like things that are feel good, you know. Movies.
I do too, because you know, there's enough crapola in the world.
There is. I really don't want to be sad. I don't want to be.
Yeah, because that's like, don't read the papers. And that's why I am so thankful for Turner Classic Movies. That's one thing I'm very thankful for because, you know, then I'll DVR something and at night I just want to watch something really nice and easy and something that puts me into slumberland without any bad feelings, you know, like some people watch news, you know, the cable news or what. I don't know how they can do it because I would just be like all tense and upset. But yeah, watching TCM.
I have the choice of watching one of the classic films, you know, I'll choose to do that.
Me too. Over anything. Over anything. Anyway, I want to thank you, Lisa. You did fabulously. Well, I know you get nervous and you shouldn't because both you and Dana are really great. And I love you guys. And I am going to go to tea at the Plaza. She went to tea at the Plaza with the girlfriends, your female posse. And I love it. And you guys can go to it's James Cagney page on Facebook. Check it out. They do some really, they have beautiful pictures and lots of good stuff and nice people.
And you learn a lot.
Yes, you can.
Just become a fan or you've been a fan or.
Yeah. And check it out because it is a nice group and it's a lot of real. I've met a lot of nice people on your group.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Conversations with Cagney, the early years. And I want to thank you, Lisa Sunita. Lisa, thank you so much for doing this for me. I am thankful for you. And I'm thankful that you did this. So
thank you so much, Grace,
so
for
much.
Having me.
No problem. And we're going to do the second half of Jimmy's life soon.
I can't wait.
Okay. So take care. Thanks, Lisa. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much, Grace. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. And we have another guest, John O'Dowd. I think, John, you were my first or one of my first guests on this podcast.
Yeah, I think so, Grace.
You're fabulous. I love you. Oh. Right. You know that. John and I became very dear friends. And, you know, like I said in this podcast. You know, this is, you know, movies we are thankful for. It doesn't have to be favorite movies, whatever, but something that touched us in a way. And I asked John. John has written wonderful books. He's written the Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, Barbara Payton story, which is unbelievable and great. And
thank you.
Your photo book. What'd you call the photo book? What's the name of that one?
That's called Barbara Payton, A Life in Pictures.
Well, that's pretty good. Your photo book, that's
well,
pretty
that's,
close, right?
That's to clear up any confusion about what it's about.
That's right. And it's a great photo book. And you can just, I love to go chapter to chapter through it. So if you guys aren't, you know, want to hear it, it is on, it's on my podcast. So just look for it. So,
and I have an audio book too, Grace.
Which one? Tell us.
The audio book on Yvette Vickers, my friend Yvette Vickers. It's called My Friend Yvette Vickers in Her Own Words.
Yes, and you know what? I would love to do a podcast about it. Yvette had quite a life, and her death, wowza. So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, so maybe one time you want to come on and we'll discuss Yvette.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, okay, John, tell us a movie that you are thankful for and why. It doesn't have to be your favorite movie. Did it touch you?
Okay.
Whatever. You're on.
Well, yeah, my favorite was, it is one of my favorite movies, but I'm especially thankful for King Kong, the original King Kong, made in 1933. And it was one of the first movies I remember seeing as a little boy. In fact, it used to play on TV around this time of year a lot here on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right outside New York City. And years ago, over the holidays, they would play, the TV would show different films like March of the Wooden Soldiers with Laurel and Hardy,
mm-hmm.
and King Kong.
What
and,
a funny thing to show around the holidays, right?
No.
How weird.
But it was very entertaining, you know, especially for a little kid to watch.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But the thing is, the reason I'm thankful for it is because I think that film is responsible for my lifelong understanding of people and animals, I guess, anyone who's vulnerable or different. I've always had a heart for people like that, for anyone who's been misunderstood or disrespected. And that's what I feel King Kong was. I feel he was misunderstood and he was disrespected because he was living perfectly fine on that island.
Right. And Skull Island, right?
Yes. And I really believe he truly fell in love with Ann Darrow. And it was beautiful. I mean, if you really watch the film now with that in mind, it's a beautiful love story. I mean, there's no way it would have worked out.
Well, geez, he's a little too big for Ann Darrow. She's very petite and a little furry, you know, but he was a dreamy guy, but I get it. Go on, Jim, tell us more.
Yeah, that sounded a little bit weird, but
no, I get it.
There is no way it would have worked out, but you know, he tried to protect her when they were brought back to New York.
Right.
And I just, even as a little kid, I remember rooting for him. I wasn't afraid of him.
Like, me
I know,
either. Yeah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a horror film and all. But even as a six-year-old boy, I remember, like, I wanted him to win. I wanted him to escape and have his girlfriend and go back to the island and be happy. So I have a hard time watching it now, though, especially the ending.
Oh, God.
Because when he's up on the Empire State Building and the fighter planes are going after him, if you watch it now, Grace, just notice how some of his gestures are so poetic. And it breaks my heart to even think about it. He's trying to protect her. And I mean, he's angry at these planes coming at him, but he's really trying to protect her. And it's beautiful.
It is.
It's really beautiful. And then at the end, when Robert Armstrong says it was beauty that killed the beast, I think it was greed that killed the beast, because they should have left him alone.
I agree. That movie, it's an important movie for me, too. I cannot watch it. I saw it once as a child. I did not fear him. I was so mad that they captured him, put him in chains, brought him to New York as some sort of showpiece. He didn't need to be moved. It was horrible. No. And I cried my eyes out. And it's
you and I are very much alike in that respect.
Yes. And it's so funny.
I cried my eyes out too.
Yeah, I did. And Victoria Riskin, who I had on the podcast, whose mom was Faye Ray, she said, well, her mother waited and said, well, do you want to see this? And she thought it might be too much for the kids. And Victoria and her brother, they're like, no, this isn't too much. They felt sorry for him. They weren't afraid for him. And they said, they're protecting you. He was protecting you. So even they raised kids felt the same way that we did.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a beautiful film, beautifully made. You know, you just have to, I guess, look at the subtext of it and, you know, get beyond the special effects and the action and the killings and all. But it's a beautiful love story. But to me, it's right up there with Old Yeller and The Yearling. I can't watch either of those.
Are you kidding me? Either. I can't watch them. My friend sent me Son of Kong, and they said, well, if you think King Kong's bad,
that's it too.
Son of Kong is worse. And I said, I cry. I said to him, I cry during King Kong. I've only seen it once and can never watch it again because I'm destroyed. Yeah. Why in the world would you think I want to watch a sadder King Kong?
I know. That pulls my heart out too.
I just
Son
can't
of Kong
take
does.
It. I think I understand that, and it shows you. I mean, they home invaded this guy. He was minding his own beeswax. He was doing nothing. And it just makes me angry.
Well, a much lighter film is Mighty Joe Young. Do you like that one? That one's not bad.
Well, you know, I can't watch it just because King Kong has tainted me for life.
against all eight films.
Yes, I can't watch them.
Have you seen Bride of the Gorilla with Barbara Payton?
Of course I did, and that was great. I love that movie, she and Raymond Burr. You know what I saw for the first time, John? I saw Trapped with Lloyd Bridges, and I liked that a lot.
Beautiful.
I thought she was fab in that.
Absolutely excellent. Gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Then
gorgeous,
I saw the one she, what is it, the biggie that she did with Cagney. Is that Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye?
Yes, yes.
And she was very good, and it was really hard. I just watched the whole thing, and it just made me sad, you know.
She was excellent.
She
you
was
know,
very
and
good.
She had only been in Hollywood 2 years.
Yes, it's so funny. Basically, it was the brother, Bill, right, that cast her?
Right.
But Jimmy had to have approval as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
She did a great job.
She idolized him.
Yeah, she did a great job. But I am with you on that. Do you think that they gave you, because you are so sensitive and underdogs, I'm for the underdogs. I can't stand, you know, anyone that picks.
I always have been.
Me too. As a child, me too. It's just been me. Yeah. I used to cry at the end of Lassie, the song, and Lassie put his paw
me
up.
Me too.
And I would cry.
Oh, my God, me too.
Oh.
In fact, if I watch it now, when that dog puts its paw up,
the paw,
my eyes fill up.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm a total mush. I am a total sap.
Me too. And I do it. My brothers and sisters would. I was a little kid and it was on, I don't know, you know, because it was not played prime time. I wasn't alive yet, but they had it like on every Sunday. And they had that theme song is a killer. And then Lassie is alone and the paw, I would run into the bathroom and cry. And this is every week. And my brothers and sisters would go, pick on
me.
Well,
you know what? They lost out. Aren't you glad you're that way? I mean, I am.
I am because I have feelings for things. And, you know, it also gave me feelings for like you love animals too. You're a big animal lover and protector.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I just want to beat people up who hurt people that can't do some, you know, that are just not able to protect themselves. Exactly. Yeah. And I
anyone or anything who's vulnerable, it just has my heart.
Yeah,
you know, I want to protect everyone.
And I want it's like put up your dukes. You know, I just want to really get at you. So I love your choice. I think you know, it's just. When's the last time you watched it?
Oh, it's been a few years, I would say. Yeah, and I'm wondering if it's still shown.
It was on. Oh, I don't know about this time of year, but it was on TCM a couple months ago, and I just couldn't watch it. It's like I liked a lot of the movie, but it just bugs me and gets me so angry, and then breaks my heart. So I can't do it.
And a lot of his mannerisms were human. You know, I mean, the facial expressions.
They did a great job on that. Think of that.
Yeah, for 1933, man, I mean, it's amazing.
They did an amazing job. And, you know, Faye Dunaway's daughter, Faye Ray's daughter, you know, would talk about the mechanical hand and all this with her mother in it. And her mother screaming 8 hours straight. Faye could scream.
Yeah, I mean, oh, God, I'm glad that film was made. And like I said, I am thankful for it. Because I think now, looking back, I can see that as maybe being the genesis of the beginning of my empathetic nature. I think that was the beginning of it.
Where you really discovered it, because you were always that. But then you see the movie, and it's like, oh, God. And you see it in different ways. And so there are... I know that there are people who feel like we do.
Oh, good.
Oh, no. Have you seen it? No, a lot. There are others who feel like we do, and others who would just like laugh at us and say, you big babies.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't care. Call me a big baby. I just feel terrible. It's like the creature from the Black Lagoon. Home invaders. I don't like that either. So,
Wasn't it set the 7-year itch where Norma Jean said, didn't she have a scene where she told Tom Ewell that she felt sorry for the creature in the creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yes.
So when she said that, boy, then I really loved her. I've always loved Norma Jean, but when I know it was just the character, you know, that she was playing in the film, but she loved animals.
She loved animals. I mean, there was a hawk that was going to attack a bird, and she took a rock and threw it at the thing, and she didn't want to go to bed. She adored animals, and she was also for the underdog. She loved children.
And when she was married to her first husband, Jim, Doherty?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you ever hear the story that she was married to him, and one day she was in the kitchen of their apartment, and she saw a cow outside, and it was raining, and she wanted to bring the cow into their kitchen so
how
that
adorable.
It wouldn't get wet.
Well, I would like to do that, too. I could, if I could feed everybody and feed everything, and I have to stay away from things. You know, when you're empathetic, you're an empath.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't read news too much. You have to really pull yourself away. Because otherwise, you know, you just...
Otherwise, I mean, I'll stay in bed for days.
Me too.
Because
you feel it. And it's. I really love that you chose King Kong because I totally get it. And...
Thanks, Grace.
Yeah.
I knew you would because I know we're similar in many ways.
Yes. Yeah,
and
we're big mushes and, you know, and people always, my family made fun of me crying and I cried and cried and cried. That's just me. I can't, and I love that you cried at the end of Lassie too. I mean, my God, that's fabulous.
But, you know, I'm glad I'm a mush because it makes me aware of how I treat people.
Me too.
And I mean, I'll go out of my way not to hurt someone.
To tell you
the truth, the way the world is now, I wish more people were like that. I really do.
Me too. And that's why I don't know. I try to stay away from unkind people as much as I can. And I, you know, like it is, kindness is free. So I try to do something nice every day for some stranger, just even just some,
that's great.
Hey, how you doing? Not that I'm like kumbaya or I want to be crowned queen or of Miss Nice Person, because believe me, I swear I do all these other things
too.
I'm a human being, and sometimes when people are mean, I want to punch them out. But, you know, kindness don't cost you a cent. And I believe that's something, and a Thanksgiving thing, that we should be thankful for being sympathetic and empathetic, because it's a lot of it is missing these days. So,
and I feel better about myself when I'm that way.
Me too, because I couldn't
so
be
if
any other way.
I feel better about myself, I'll be, you know, I'll put forth a better image, and I'll be, I don't know, I want the people to want to be around me. I mean, that's just how I feel.
Me too. And I don't want to be an emotional vampire or anything else. So, we're a couple of nice guys and we cry. So I guess that's the bottom line, but I love your thing. I have someone calling in now to do their movie. But
thank you for asking me to do this.
Oh,
Grace.
I knew you'd have a great one, and I miss you. And definitely you come on and we'll talk about Yvette Vickers. I think your new book sounds fab. And I will link you
I'll
up.
Be working on that. I'll be working on that all next year, I think. It's going to take me a while to put it all together.
Well, you're a perfectionist, and I know you'll get
it right.
So thank you so much, and hopefully we see each other soon. And
I hope so, Grace.
I am thankful for your friendship.
Oh,
and
same here.
I love you very much, and thanks for coming on the show.
Grace.
Thank you so much, John.
Everyone, happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
And happy Thanksgiving to you, John. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You are
Bye-bye,
welcome.
Grace.
Okay, guys, now our next guest who's going to tell us what movie she is thankful for is Dana DiCarlo. And thank you, Dana, for coming on, because for some reason she came on. She was like my first person on. I think you called me Sunday. And this thing disappeared. And this has happened. It was frustrating. I looked everywhere. I looked high and low. And I know where to look. I'm pretty good at this stuff. But, you know, it happened before with a couple of podcasts, and I found them later, or in one I didn't find, but there a couple I did find later, but I didn't find this. Anyway, Dana's back with a cold.
Hi, everybody.
She's a trooper. Happy Thanksgiving, Dana.
Happy Thanksgiving, Grace.
And why don't you lay it on us? What movie are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving day?
When you sent me an email, it was Angels with Dirty Faces. I didn't have to think about it. When I was 12, I was a movie buff, but I had never seen any Cagney movies. And this one stuck with me until today. It's like my favorite movie. It's one of my favorite Cagney movies. It's just watching him. After that, it's just I had to watch every movie he made. So just learning about Warner Brothers. And the people, the supporting cast, and just, you know, watching him just, you know, he puts a smile on your face. It makes
Even
you laugh.
He's a bad guy, you know.
Yeah, he makes you cry. Guy. Yeah, you sympathize with the character, even though it's bad, but he still has a heart of gold.
Yes.
Except for, you know, White Heat, you know, and Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye. He was real bad in those. But, young and watching TV, he became like my babysitter after a while. I would just sit in front of the TV and, you know, I just had a connection with him. And when I had that connection, I was like, I have to meet him. And then I wrote a fan letter like the next day to him. And 3 months later, he answered me.
Because
I asked my mom.
Do you still have? I hope you have that letter.
Yeah, I have them. I have them on, you know, in a frame and stuff. And
oh, cool.
I asked my mom, I said, is James Cagney still alive? Because, you know, it was 74. She says, oh, yes, he lives up in Martha's Vineyard. Meanwhile, he's upstate. He's like 2 hours, hour and a half from me. And he answered me. And so from then on, it was just being a fan and, you know, researching him and collecting, you know, memorabilia. And then a couple of years ago, I started the Facebook page, which it just grew and grew. And I have so many family members. It's just amazing people that are dear friends and are like family to me.
Right.
I call them brother and sister. I mean, it's like, you can't even explain it, that because of him, all this has happened. And then just this year, we participated in the book Conversations with Cagney. And that was incredibly like fun and an experience I'll never forget.
And you know, it's so good, you guys. It was a manuscript because the guy was there.
Yeah, he had it on his shelf for 35 years. Initially, he gave it to somebody for a documentary, and it just never worked out. And we wanted to read it, and he sent it to us, and we, you know, were able to read it. And it was stuff that Lisa and I were like, oh, my God. We read everything we can get our hands on. And it just, it was an interview. So it wasn't a bio or anything. And it was supposed to be made into a movie that just never happened. But, you know, we just said, let's publish this. And he said, no, go ahead. You know, I'm 83 years old. I'm working on a project. He was still working. But he just thought, you know what? He had bad memories because it got nixed with Marge.
Yeah, it was weird.
But he said, I never connected with anybody in Hollywood. And he was in Hollywood like 60 years. He had like a brotherhood almost with him. He said, I was so close with him for the 5 weeks. So it's like anyone that goes near him, it's just you love to be in his company or you have good things to say about him.
And like I said, with the guys I have, and I'm going to be posting their podcast next week, Dave and Tom, who did, 75 conversations with people of the golden age. And I asked who was their favorite, and they adore, they didn't really say they disliked anybody, but they loved Jimmy. They loved him. Yeah. He was special to them.
He was a beautiful human being. You can't explain it. It's just everything that I read, the actresses, people on the set, they all love him. Like, I remember him saying in one article that you have to learn everybody's name on the lot. He said, it's a tall order, but do it. He told another actor. So he knew everybody's name and they were blown away. Because how could you remember everybody's name? And he was so comfortable with the crew.
Yeah, he didn't treat people like
dirt. He would hang out.
Yeah, he was not.
He was just a regular guy. And this is a job. And I go home afterwards. It's no partying or anything. And just meeting him, you felt the warmth.
I envy you for meeting him. I really do. I would love to have met him. He's just so adorable. I would have wanted to give him a big old smooch.
He was sitting up in bed and I wanted to, but I felt like kind of funny because you had to climb in kind of.
Because
he was sitting in the middle and when I shook his hand at the end and thanked him for letting us see him because he wasn't feeling well. And he was like, oh, thank you. And, he was just so nice. And I just like, here's a man who's in bed. He's not feeling well. And he said, let them in. It's incredible. Who does that?
Nobody. No, nobody. And nobody comes to visit me. If you come to my door, which nobody does, I'm kidding. But if I'm sick, and I'm in bed, that's the last thing I want to do is see people.
So that movie led to so many things and opportunities. And now I'm meeting so many people. You know, it's incredible. Not just, his family, people in the industry. Mm-hmm. It's just, I guess as a kid, you always want to be in the industry, not as an actress or anything. But like you said, you want to be on the set watching or something.
Yeah.
And it just seems like, I don't know.
It was sort of like a faded moment for you to watch that and see that movie.
It was lucky that I saw that.
And it was one of those things that stays with you today and actually changed the course of your life, really.
It did. Yeah, so when you're a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. For 45 years and still
amazing.
Have this love. Yeah. This love affair with this man,
and he's just a love. I don't know. I can't see anyone disliking James Cagney. I just can't. It seems like they would be inhuman. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Seem right. Well, it's a great choice, Dana. And I want to thank you for coming in on Thanksgiving
and with a cold.
And after I'm like, where art thou, Dana? I'm like, oh my God, where's Dana? Where where is Dana? Where is Dana? I'm looking everywhere, you know, and I couldn't find you. And a computer person, we just couldn't find you. So I'm so glad you came back. I'm glad you're on. I wanted you to get on. And thank you so much. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous Thanksgiving. And you take care of yourself and get to bed.
Yeah, I have a few days off, so I'm just going to rest. I'm going to try anyway. You know, it never happens, right?
But, you know, give it a try. Take some vitamin C, echinacea, and rest.
That is
a doctor who isn't a doctor, and I didn't play one on TV's advice. Okay.
So thanks so much, Grace, and happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, take care.
Bye-bye. A newcomer to the show who's going to talk about a movie he's thankful for. But he knows all of us. I think you're friends with every one of the people that have been on the show. And Anthony is my friend, and he is a humongous classic film fan. I don't think I get it.
Yes.
And I could even add more. Ooh, oohs. You love your classic movies. So
yes, I do.
I thought you'd be the perfect person to bring on the Thanksgiving show and to tell us a film that you are thankful for. And like I've said, this doesn't have to be anyone's favorite film, just some film that maybe touched you in a way or taught you something, or just, you know, maybe you just liked it. Maybe you thought the chick was cute, whatever. But you know what I mean? So let us know. You're on, Anthony. What movie are you thankful for and why?
Okay. Thank you, Grace. First off, happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody listening.
Thank you.
And when that was on, and I'm very thankful for your podcast, even though you kill my social life with all these movies you're recommending. And I thank you for that.
Thanks for listening and for posting it on your page. I appreciate
it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You take the train with me a lot of mornings, and hope you don't mind the crowded subway. But anyway. Okay, the movie I'm most thankful for, okay. As you said, I love movies. I love the old films. Addicted to, if you want to say that.
You're and a huge classic movie fan. That's what you are.
Yeah, like, I'm a movie buff. Not an expert. Mm-hmm. Not an expert by any means, but I love them. I'm a fan. So the movie I'm most thankful for would be Sullivan's Travels, directed by Preston Sturges, starring Joel McRae. And yes, there is a cute girl in there, Veronica Lake.
She is adorable in this movie. Teeny weeny.
She's perfect in any movie she does. But besides that, and I'm sure you don't mind Joel McRae.
Oh, I think I love him as an actor. I just think he can do comedy, drama, and then he just became a Western guy because he had a real he and his wife had a real working ranch, so he was a cowboy. But I don't know him from the cowboy films. I know him from all these wonderful films that he's done. So tell us why you chose that and why are you thankful for it.
Okay, also it has William Demarest in it, who I think is a fine actor, fun actor, always brings a laugh to any movie he does. But what I wanted to say was, the last few months over the summertime, I was a little down, a little out of it. You know, I guess people get into certain moods.
Yeah,
you know?
A little funk, you know, a funk.
Right. So I've been in funk for a while. So I started watching some comedies, reading some biographies, and then I came across Sullivan's Travels, which I saw years ago. And I always liked it, and then I just wanted to rewatch it. It was on TCM, and it's on TCM again this Friday, 8 o'clock. If people want to see it, they have never seen it before. And what this movie is...
It's a must-see.
It's what?
It's a must-see, I think, for film fans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely must-see. Even if you're not a film buff, if you're a little down and out, put this movie on. It's an important movie. It shows the human condition. It shows that no matter what's going on in life, no matter how down you are, there's always something to laugh about. You need that comedy. You need that laugh in your life. It's pretty much Joel McRae plays the director. He goes on a road trip. He's always making comedies. He wants to make a serious film. But what he doesn't realize is that people need to laugh. People love comedy. They need that in their life. No matter how down and out they are, they need that comedy. And no matter what, even if you're the reason for someone laughing, I think Charlie Chaplin said it one time, you know, he said, you know, I might be the reason for someone laughing, but I'll never laugh at somebody. So you know what? If people want to make fun of you, they want to laugh at you, hey, at least they're laughing at something.
Correct. And it's funny because he goes out looking, because he thinks his films are trite, not, you know, oh, stupid comedy, schmomedy kind of thing. And he goes out like a hobo, like jumps on trains, does things like that. And like you say, he's looking for the sorrow of human, because he wants to do this really, I can't remember the name of the film he wanted to do, but it's like a really sad, horrible film. And in the meantime, at first, he's being followed by his, in this really luxurious trailer, right? Aren't people following him in the beginning?
Yeah, his people are following him, make sure he's okay and stuff like that. And then, you know, he gets in trouble with the law and it becomes part of the chain gang.
Yes, because of a mix-up. He had amnesia or no? I don't remember.
I don't think so. I don't think, maybe at one point he did and then he woke up. I don't remember if he had amnesia or not. But, yeah. Or he was trying to tell people who he was, or maybe he was hiding it. That's, I think, what it was.
Oh, they thought he was dead.
Right. They thought he was dead, and then they found him in a newspaper article that he was alive, and they, you know, they went looking for him, whatever.
Why don't you tell us the most poignant part when he's on that chain gang before he's found? That I think it just, for me, oh, my God, it hit home for me big time when I saw that.
Yeah, when he goes into the church.
Yes, it's a black church.
And it's a black church, and it's also one of the few early movies where they made the black people above white people. If you remember, the church parishioners were the ones that were above the criminal. They were above the chain gang.
But they
and
had
they
such compassion.
For who they were.
Exactly. Right. Compassion, and had these poor slobs in, because, you know, half of the people in chain gangs in those days, which of course they should never have, probably stole the loaf of bread or something, and they're on a chain gang, you know? So I'm sorry, I digress. You tell everybody else. So they go to the church.
You have a better voice than me. But yes, they go to the church, they're watching the movie, and the cartoon comes on. And he's looking around, seeing people who have no hope in life laughing. And that just touched me, because, you know what? Stop taking life so seriously. It's not serious. Okay, you have to be serious at some point. But on your everyday life, you can't be serious anymore. This country's turned into a joke. This world turned into a joke.
Yes, and that's why you have to find laughter wherever you can get it. And these men who have nothing, absolutely nothing, and they work night and day, and they just show these weather-beaten faces of these men who've had the horrible lives, absolutely laughing. And he looks around, and then he starts laughing too. So that changed him. It changed him.
This is what you need to do. This is what he's good at. He's good at doing comedies. That's what he needs to stay with.
And he felt, you know, that it wasn't just like something you fluff off. Like, oh, dear, you know, they're nothings. He saw how important they were to people's lives, because people have rough lives. People work. Not everybody's on a chain gang, thank goodness. But, you know, it's just laughter is healing. Laughter is something to be very thankful and grateful for, the gift of laughter. And
exactly. I mean, if you want to see a movie about a chain gang, look at Paul Muni's Out of the Fugitive of a Chain Gang.
Yes, because it is. That's a really good picture to choose for Thanksgiving, because it really does. And if you are not moved by this, then I wonder if you have a heart. You know what I mean? It's so touching.
You have to be moved by it.
Yeah,
you
I don't know how anyone can't. Well, some people probably, you know, whatever. But it's a wonderful film, and I think it's a wonderful choice, Anthony. And thank you so much. So I'm going to say my choice as last. My choice is not my favorite film by any means, but it's a beautiful film, and it really kind of helped me with my course in life. I was about 13 years old, and I don't know what, you know, they had the late movies, whatever. And the movie I saw was Portrait of Jenny. Have you ever seen it, Anthony?
No.
It's a beautiful romance. And the romance is based in New York, but basically Central Park. And it's about a writer who, no, an artist who, you know, he does stuff, but there's no heart. There's no soul. It's like it looks technically perfect, but there is no soul or feeling or love behind it. And he goes to art dealers who are fabulous. Ethel Barrymore as Miss Spinney, and the other, Cecil Kellaway, who is the husband in The Postman Always Rings Twice, and the stars of the film, is one of my underrated actors, Joseph Cotten and Jennifer Jones. And
he's in everything.
He, huh?
It's like Joseph Cotten was in everything.
He did a lot. He did everything. But this was a beautiful film. It has a supernatural element to it. And he's just down in the dumps because he thinks, you know, he's a starving artist. What am I doing? I'm wasting my time. He goes to Central Park and sits there. It's wintertime. He picks up a parcel, and all of a sudden this little girl comes skating over and talks to him and says hi and just yabba, 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 yammers on and, you know, talks about things like from the 1910 and whatever. And she said, I want you to wait for me. I'm going to spin around three times and close my eyes. So you wait for me and wait till I grow up. And so he says he just thinks she's cute, you know, and whatever. So he goes, here's your parcel. And then she's not there anymore. Then he meets her again in the same spot, but she's older. She looks older. And she tells him where her parents were, and they were. She just keeps getting older in a shorter period of time. I just hurry. I'm gonna catch up to you. Just wait for me. And for me, as a child, I always said, I don't even know why. I'm gonna live in New York. I'm gonna be there in my crib. I'm moving to New York. Watch out. Here I go. And as a child, I'm watching this flick. As a 13, 14-year-old romantic kid, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's such a beautiful romance, and basically love never dies. But I'm also watching the beautiful way it's lit, Central Park, New York City, and it just sort of cemented for me and made it more, you know, because it was just kind of, it wasn't really real. Me just saying it. I didn't know why I was saying it. And then when I looked and I watched this movie, it made me make it a little more real for me, not abstract, about why I wanted to move to New York and to be in New York. And I think of that movie often. And when I first got to New York, I took the Portrait of Jenny route. And so it meant a lot to me. And I think in some ways, you know, it was part of my destiny to see that movie. And so I was very, because I wasn't a real movie buff at that point. And watching that, and then I rewatched and rewatched and rewatched it, really, really had a big impact in my life. So I am very thankful for that film. And it's beautiful. And I would advise anybody who loves a really good love story, to watch this and just check out the New York that it has and Central Park and the oil lighting and the oil lights and the skating rink and the whole thing. It's just really a beautiful, beautiful story. And basically love never dies. And I'm very thankful for that. And you should watch it, Anthony. It's a good movie. Both of them are wonderful. I want to thank all the wonderful guests I've had this year. I have had amazing guests, and I really appreciate everybody who comes on. And I want to thank all the listeners. You guys are the best, and I really mean it, the best, the bestest in the East and the Westest. And thank you for all you guys who come to my Facebook page. You guys are really great. I love everybody's nice. If you come there, and it's all nice and it's fun. And so thank you. I appreciate you all so very, so, so, so. So I thank, of course, Anthony. I thank Dana. I thank April Vivier. I thank Anthony. I thank, of course, my pal, Stoney Curtis, Stone Wallace. And I thank John O'Dowd.
And of course, Lisa Salida. Thank you so much. I think everybody did just a wonderful, they chose really interesting films. Perhaps, you know, like I said, not their favorites, but ones that sort of meant something to them. So I want to thank them. And I want to thank the person who does my sound and editing, Dennis Bach Bliszczak. And you can find him. He's on Facebook. And I'm going to link you to his website. And if you're interested, he does really good stuff. He can do pretty much anything you need. And as always, thank you guys for everything. Be safe. Have a wonderful day. And thank you for you. I'm very thankful for you. I'm very blessed. Happy Thanksgiving.
Grateful for each hand we hold, gathered round this table. From far and near we travel home, blessed that we are able. Grateful for this sheltered place, with light in every window, saying, welcome, welcome, share this feast. Come in away from sorrow. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend, and friend. In the gift of loving kindness. Grateful understood, and all that is forgiven. We try so hard to be good, to lead a life worth living. Father, mother, daughter, son, neighbor, friend. Let grateful days be endless. Grateful for each hand we hold, gathered.